Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Right now, let's just come in agreement for our unsaved family. Father, I thank you, Lord, for that word that came at the end of that song. That, Lord, your burden for our families was spoken to us right now, Father. So we take Acts 16 and we believe, Lord, that if we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved in our households. So we're praying now for unsaved mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, Father, God, cousins, those, oh Lord Jesus, our children, our grandchildren, Father, we send the word out, Father, right now, our faith, to believe that they are going to come to the house of the Lord and they are going to be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and serve you all of their days. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Woo, I'll tell you, I'm excited this morning. My title of my message is Attain to Obtain. Now, that's a little play on words, and we'll get into it in a moment. But just listen to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness, which we have in Him. And we are sure. Look at somebody and say, I'm sure. That if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. You know, it's good to know that God not only listens, but He hears. You can listen to somebody talk, but never hear a word they're saying. I don't know about you, but my kids don't do that anymore. But when they were growing up, they did. They would listen to me, but I'd say, did you hear me? Because I wanted to make sure they just didn't listen, but they heard. And the Bible says God not only listens to our prayer, but He hears our prayer. Hallelujah. I think that's a good place to give God a hand clap right there. Thank you, Lord. You listen and you hear me. Hallelujah. And if since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possession the request made of Him. Isn't that powerful? In other words, the things that you're asking God for, He said you already possess. If you know that He not only listens, but He hears, He said it's a present possession. It's a present possession. Have you been praying for debt free? Guess what? You're already debt free. You possess presently what you're praying for. God says it's a present possession. Man, I'd write that down right there. That gets my clock going. But the whole concept of attaining to obtain. The word attain, define, means this. To gain or arrive at, it is to achieve as a desired purpose. So when we want to attain something, we're trying to strive towards something. It actually means an exertion of body or an exertion of mind. An exertion of body, an exertion of mind, so that we might arrive at a desired end. So we want to attain. We have to attain in order to obtain. Meaning there must be desire. There must be desire in order for us to receive. That's why the Bible says, when you pray, whatsoever you desire when you pray, right? You have to have the desire in your heart. That's what attaining is all about. The word obtain means this, to gain possession of, and especially by effort or to acquire it. So I want to obtain the promises of God. Well, the Lord said, I already possess them. Isn't that powerful? I already possess them. So how do I release them into my actual life? How do I materialize them? How do I actually experience what God has already provided? I believe it is in the context of desire. Desire. Everybody say desire.
Desire.
See, we've got to desire God. I mean, not just want God. I want to desire God. You know, I love it when my wife and I like to be able to share with her. When I got married, I said, I just don't love you. I desire you. Right? You know, there was an old song, old rock song about that. I think it was by Jim Morrison or something. Come on, baby, light my fire or something. Was that who it was? Oh, that's bad, isn't it? The old corrupt mind just keeps popping back up, doesn't it? It's talking about desire. You know, when you desire something bad enough, it will make you do things you never thought you'd do.
Come on.
Huh? How about an addict that really desires another fix? What will they do? They'll steal from their mama. They'll steal from you. They'll do whatever they have to do to get that thing that they so desire. Everybody shout, desire. So if we're going to obtain the promises of God, we've got to have desire. So I've got to stir it up. That's why we were singing this morning, breathe on me. Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost shower. God, burn in me a desire to be blessed by all that you have promised for my life. In the kingdom, we release our desire in order to gain the possession of all that God's promised. But watch this. The reach is the outward expression of an inward decision. The reach. Can you say that with me? The reach. What's a reach? If you were to find a person today off of a pier out here in Lake Erie, drowning, I'm going to guarantee you their desire for life would be seen in their reach. They would be reaching out and crying out. Have you ever seen the dramatic drowning in a movie or in the quicksand and people are trying to struggle to get out and they're going under? What's the last thing that goes under? Because they're reaching out. My reach is an outward manifestation of an inward decision. I want to live. I want to live. And I'm reaching out. Whether it's a drowning or whether it's somebody in a crisis, they're in a house, they're on the third floor, and the flames have engulfed the entire house, and they're at the window. And what are they doing? They're reaching out for somebody to save them. There is power in your reach. Your reach, my reach, is an outward manifestation of an inward decision. That I know that in order to obtain that which I am attaining toward, I must release a reach in the right direction. And I'm telling you today, there is power in your reach. There's at least three results that I want to talk about this morning of reaching out to God. Today, this is a generation we become too passive. We're not people that are hungry enough. I like the song, Lord, I am hungry. Lord, I am hungry. I am desirous of you, Lord. You know, we don't even know what that is anymore. And praying through and crying out until we get a response from God. I want him to know that I am hungry for his presence. And the first one is found in Mark chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5. I want you to see this. This is so powerful because there is power in your reach. Jesus entered into a synagogue on a day, just a normal day, and a man was there with a withered hand. And the Bible says that when he entered there, he watched him closely. Whether he would heal, they watched him closely. Whether he would heal on the Sabbath so they might accuse him. Now this whole thing was the religious leaders didn't want Jesus to exert himself on the holy day. Now the context here that we're going to consider is the healing of this man. Watch this. He said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. And then he said something to him. He said, I want you to stretch it out. Stretch it out. Everybody say it with me, stretch it out. Reach out. Come on, reach out like it was your withered hand. Yeah, well, how would you do it? I would say, hey, Jesus, right here, baby. Come on, fix it. But notice what he did. Our reach represented our dysfunction. He had one good hand, and he had one dysfunctional hand. And Jesus was saying, you are running on 50% of capacity. There are people in this room this morning that are running on 50% capacity of the life that God has afforded you. Something has caused you to become dysfunctional. Something has robbed you of your potential. Something has caused that which you know God gave you to wither up right in your own life. And he's here this morning, and here's what he's asking you to do. I want you to take that which has been dysfunctional, that which is not functioning according to plan, that which has withered away and that is dying, that is a part of your life that's affecting your ability, and I want you to reach out with that to me. Listen, I want you to know this morning, church, you've come to this house and you're not functioning as a normal human being. You can't get rid of depression.
Come on.
You can't get rid of low self-esteem. You can't get through what happened yesterday. It lives with you day after day after day. You can't seem to break free from everything someone said to you as a baby, growing up, a child, a mother or a father, the abandonment, whatever it is. God's saying, here's what I want you to do. How much do you desire for me to reach out and touch you where you need to be touched? And we need to bring that thing before God. You know what we do in church? We put masks on. We wear gloves over the withered hand. We cover it up. How you doing, brother? Great, man. How you doing? I'm doing fine. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we never pull it out of our pocket. Nobody knows. We don't want nobody to see our disfigurement. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're human and if you've lived on this planet for any length of time, you and I have something disfigured. And God's saying, here's what I want you to do. Take it out of your pocket. Lift it up and reach out to me and let me touch it. You see, no healing came to his hand until he made an inward decision to reach it out. He didn't care what anybody else thought in church. He wasn't worried about the Pharisees' debate about Jesus. He wasn't worried about the person sitting next to him. Look, I thank God you're here this morning, but excuse me. I've been living with this withered part of my life long enough. I'm just going to let it all out for God. I'm just going to stretch it out for Jesus. Right now, right where you're sitting, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about that thing that's not functioning the way you know it ought to be functioning. I want you to begin to present it to God. I want you to lift it up. Come on, lift it up, lift it up. Put your hands up and lift it up to Jesus. Say, God, I'm not going to hide it anymore. I'm not going to cover it up anymore. I'm going to believe that if I reach out, you'll touch me in Jesus' name. That's why the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says this, that God does not look at the outward appearance of man. Aren't you glad for that? He looks at the heart. He is a God of the inside, not the God of the outside. He's a God of your heart's desire. That's why the powerful scripture in Mark 11 talks about whatever you desire when you pray. God's looking at your desire. God's looking at the intensity of your desire to be made whole. Your desire to get your marriage back. Your desire to start getting out of sin. Your desire to start serving Him with all of your heart. He's looking at your desire today. And He saw that man's desire. And it was a manifestation of his inward decision to release it to Him. And regardless of what everybody else thought, regardless of what everybody else's evaluation was. Listen, I've lived with this long enough. You may not like it, but I'm about to be healed. You may not be able to understand it, but I'm about to be touched. You may not want to know what I'm going to do when I get my capacity back, and it may offend you, but honey, I've been living this way long enough. I can't go on like this. Have you come to that point in your life? Have you come to that point in your life? I can't live like this anymore. I'm not going to church another Sunday with my hand in my pocket. He reached out with his dysfunction. But there's another story in the Bible in John chapter 20 of a man that didn't reach out with a dysfunction. He reached out with a disappointment. And what a reach will do is not only correct the dysfunction, it will also eliminate unbelief and fear. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 20 about Thomas. Do you remember the story about Thomas? And he didn't believe. And he said to Thomas, I want you to reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. I'm going to tell you what will happen when you reach with desire. It will eliminate fear and doubt. Fear and doubt will thwart the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus in Mark chapter 6 could not do great miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. I don't want to live with unbelief. But what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to reach out. See, some of us have heard about the cross. You've sung about the cross. You even partook of the communion, which symbolized the work of the cross, but you've not touched the cross. Touched the place of sacrifice. Put your hand in his side. His apprehension, his fear, his unbelief was his worst enemy, to try to touch it. Whether it be a baby alligator and they want you to hold it. I don't know if I want to touch that. It might hurt me. You say, well, here, why don't you just handle this snake for a few minutes? No, I don't want to touch that. There's areas in our life we don't want to talk about, we don't want to touch. We act like nothing happened. We put it under the rug. Come on, there are couples in here and marriages in here that you need to go back and look under the covers. Look under the rugs. No, I don't want to. It always causes problems. We can never get it resolved. That's why, because we've been hiding it, that's why. But if we'll get it out in the open, if we'll just come over our fear and put our hand, take your wife's hand, take your son's hand, take your daughter's hand, and together go to the cross and thrust that hand in his side. Thrust that hand in the nail prints in his palms. Thrust that hand into the prints of his feet. And there, God said, your outward decision of your reach is an inward manifestation of your desire. And when God sees desire, he changes a person's life. Thomas left church that day different than he came to church. How many are ready to go home different? Come on, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. You know, we used to sing a song about shake off those heavy bands, lift up those holy hands, right? We got to shake it off. Sometimes we live under a cloud. We live under the yoke of bondage, the ropes of imprisonment. And God says, shake them off. Like Samson, shake them off, break them off. It's the reach, ladies and gentlemen. It's the outward manifestation of an inward desire. Thomas left that house differently, and I'm saying today people are going to leave differently from this place than they have when they came in. But the problem is, will you reach? Will you reach? Will you allow that desire to push you to a point where you'll reach, where you'll become desperate? Will you become thirsty? Will you become hungry? Will you become to the point of abandonment? Would you say, you know what, I'm not doing this any longer. I'm not going to be religious. I'm not going to base my present faith in Christianity with my past experience. I want a new relationship. I want a new outpouring of God. I want to experience him again real today as if it's the very first time. Jesus, show me your face. Show me your glory. Show me your power. I hunger for your presence. And then finally, a third one. It was a woman. This is interesting because in Luke chapter 8, the Bible says there was a woman who had an issue of blood. And the Bible also says that for 12 years, she had spent all her living upon physicians. And when I read that, I thought, God, she didn't have anything left. She spent all that she had. Say that with me. She spent all that she had. One more time. She spent all that she had. When you spend all you have, what do you have? She had nothing. She had nothing except a reach. When the Holy Ghost showed me this, he said, listen, say, never say, you have nothing in me. Never say, you have no potential and no future. Don't say that with me. Because if you'll give me your reach, I'll give you my virtue. Amen. And this woman pressed through the crowd. All the objections of every person who said she had no right to be in that place where Jesus was. She had no legal right according to the law. She had no social right according to the standards of that culture. She was a woman pressing in through men, touching them and defiling them on her way. But her focus was this: if I could but touch the hem of his garment. And I'm going to tell you, when she got close enough, that was enough. When she got close enough, that was enough. Come on, hear me now. Some of us need to get just a little closer. Come on, a little bit closer, a little bit higher, a little bit further, just a little bit closer. You know, there's times I'll drop things on the floor and I don't want to move my position. And so I'm trying to reach for it. And I reach over the arm of the chair and it's in my ribs. I'm trying to get to it. And I'm close, but not close enough. I can almost feel it. I can see it. It's there about just inches away from my hand. But I've got to reposition myself to get just a little bit closer. And when I get a little bit closer, I pick it up off the floor. And I put it in my hand and I say, I got that thing, baby. I got it. Some of you are close, but you're not close enough. Some of us need to reposition our lives in God. Some of us have to reposition away from the things of this world, about our passivity, about our comfort level. We just need to say, no, this thing is killing me and I still don't have it. This thing is hurting me and I still can't reach it. I guess I'm just going to have to get up, move myself, and extend my reach. Come on, church. Where have you been sitting? Where have you been serving God from? It's not close enough. The pain you're feeling is as a result of your own choice to continue where you've been. But today, arise and shine. Give God the glory. Come on, stand. We need to be able to say, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to press forward. I'm going to extend my reach. And if I could just touch the hem of His garment, something is going to happen. I will be made whole. And the Bible says she was made whole. Can you fancy that? I can't believe that. Just a reach made her whole. Just a reach delivered Thomas of all unbelief and fear. Just a reach caused a dysfunction to begin functioning again. Just a reach. I mean, that's all I've got to do. I don't have to send in $1,000 offering. I don't have to go to someone's crusade. I don't have to wait till pastor prays for me. You mean all I've got to do is reach? Why didn't you tell me this before? Here I thought I had to memorize the Bible. Here I thought I had to give money. Here I had to thought I had to be under somebody else's anointing. Here I thought I had to do all these. You mean all I got to do is reach? Now I'm mad. I don't know about you, but I'm mad. You trying to tell me I got to run through all these religious hoops? I got to jump through all of the obstacles you placed before me to try to get to the place of my deliverance, and all I had to do was reach? Come on, look at somebody, tap them on the shoulder, say, just reach out. Come on, tell them, reach out. Reach out to Jesus. That's all we got to do is just reach, because it's an outward manifestation of an inward decision. That's what it is. And when God sees someone's heart revealed, it moves Him. It moves Him. Oh God, it just moves you when you have witness of inner desire. Some of us are going to go to another level here. And it's not going to be based on anything you do other than your total dependency upon God. Just your reaching out to God. My wife and I have been believing God for some breakthroughs in our life. Some serious things that we want to see broke through. I'm not going to tell you what they are because there are stuff. You got stuff too. But I'm starting to think about all these options of what I could do. And I found out that all I need to do is reach. All I need to do is push through the obstacles. All I need to do is overcome my unbelief and my fear. All I need to do is take my dysfunction. Be honest about it. Be honest about it. Quit trying to fool yourself and fool everybody else. You're not running at capacity. Yeah, everything's all right. It's all right, man. It's cool. No, it's not cool. You know it's not cool. There's only one place acceptable in the presence of God. And I'm trying to think of the chick who made this saying up. She's like a Hollywood person. I can't remember her name, but she's always saying, that's hot. Who? Paris Hilton. She did not come up with that's hot. God came up with that's hot. That's right. Here's what God said. I'd rather you be that's hot or cold. But if you be lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Everybody say, that's hot.
That's hot.
Come on. God wants you to be on fire. Hot for God. That's why we got to make it a prayer. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Ghost power. Breathe on me. Fire. Burn in me. We've got to begin to say the rain, the shower to rain. It's got to be a lighting
of our fire.
There's an old song that my wife and I used to sing. Gosh, we're getting old. It's in His kiss. That's where it is. How's that song go? Anybody remember that song? Huh? How's it go? Give me the tune. It's in His kiss. Yeah, that's where it is. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. The song basically said, if you want to know if He's hot for you, it's in His kiss. When He kisses you like He would kiss His sister, He's not hot for you. Right? That's where it is. Woo-hoo. It's in His kiss. Jesus said, no, it's in His reach. That's where it is. I want to know if you're hot for me. It's in your reach. And some of us haven't reached out with desperation. Some of us haven't reached out with everything in us to say, God, if you don't touch me. If you can with me just this morning, would you do me a favor? Right where you're sitting, you don't even have to get up. I won't disturb you. But reach up with both hands as high as you can. Cool. Now everybody look around. Look around. Now reach up higher. Now see, the first time I said reach up as high as you can, and I said higher, and you went up higher. Aye! You know, some of you have been around long enough, you know where I'm going with this. You're already up on your chair. You know what I'm talking about. Reach up as high as you can. You see, our reach will determine what we receive from God. Come on, look at three people and say, I'm going to reach for it all, baby. I'm going for it all. I'm going to receive from God everything He has for me. And what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? This woman touched the hem of His garment, and what happened? Jesus said, hey, ho. Virtue left me. Who touched me? Now let me tell you what virtue means. Are you ready for this? Hold on to your socks. This is going to be really good. Virtue means this: power, ability, miracles, a supernatural person who has administrative power. In other words, virtue left Jesus with the administrative ability to operate into supernatural, to take something withered and make it functional, to take fear and unbelief that was limiting them and release them into faith, and take a woman who spent all that she had no other hope, and give her hope and restore her to wholeness. He has the administrative ability to do that. Isn't that powerful? And He said that left Him. Where did it go? Come on, elder. Where did it go?
Into her.
It went out of Jesus and went into her. Now watch this, because she came to Him with nothing but a reach. Got close enough to touch Him. She touched Him. She gets whole. But virtue leaves Jesus and comes into her. The administrative ability of the miraculous leaves Jesus and comes into her. Silver and gold have I none. But that, well, you'll make me run. That which I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Why was John and Peter able to say that? Because what was in Jesus, through their touch on Jesus, left Jesus and got into John and Peter. I have the administrative ability to operate in miraculous power. Here, take the Holy Ghost. Woo, she went away more than whole. She went away with the miraculous ability and power of God to administrate it for the needs of others. That's why Proverbs 31 calls her a... Oh, you're preaching now. Come on. What do they call her? not just a moral woman, a virtuous woman. A woman who has miraculous ability and the power of God and the administration to operate in that supernatural ability. She is a virtuous woman. Everything she touches prospers. Everything she touches increases. Her family calls her blessed. All of her friends look at her and acknowledge her that she is a covenant woman of God. Why? Because she's not operating in her own power. She's operating in the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power and ability of God. Church, reach out to Jesus this morning. Come on, you need to reach out and touch him. Why? Because you are about to be touched by virtue. God wants us to be a virtuous generation that we administrate the miraculous ability and supernatural power of God. Everybody put your hand on your belly. Say, river flow. See, we got to break up the dam. We got to break up the debris. We've got to break up that which is stopping the flow of this virtue in this generation. There's a flow in you, John chapter 7 and 37. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's the virtue of God that needs to flow through us into a generation. We got to break it up. I like that song that Ironside taught us, come a little higher, go a little further, far above, reach a little higher, reach a little further, far above where you've been reaching. It's just on the other side of your reach. It's just inches away. It's only around the corner. If you'll just reach, if you got to get up out of your chair, come on, stop being lazy and passive. Get up out of your chair, do what you have to do, and reach and touch the hem of his garment. Touch the sacrificial wounds of Christ. Touch his mercy and compassion upon your dysfunctional place. When you touch it, God said, virtue will be released to you. Ezekiel had a wonderful vision in chapter 47. He saw water. Water coming out of the throne room. Water. Just water. And it was ankle deep. And there have been a lot of preachers that can preach on this far better than me, but I'm just going to use it as an illustration. Ankle deep, nothing more than just salvation. Some of us are walking around ankle deep. Oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. Split splash. Taking a bath. Well, this is fun. And there's nothing wrong with being saved. It's a good thing, isn't it? Hallelujah. Beats the alternative. People ask me, how you doing? I said, I'm on top of the world. Well, that's pretty good. You are? I said, yeah, because the alternative means I'm under it. I want to be on top. By the way, I got a revelation yesterday. This is a little commercial. On the heels of our children's conference, here's what God showed me. He said, parents, how many of you have children that like to play Game Boys and video games? Let me see your hand. How many have children that like to be on the computer? Let me see your hand. How many like to have cell phones and talk on the cell phone? Let me see your hand. Okay, here's the deal. You work out a plan with your family that for every scripture they memorize, they get so many minutes on those things. So if you memorize a scripture, like Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Ding, ding, 15 minutes on the video game. So they buy the minutes with memorizing scripture. You like that? You don't like that, do you? Yeah, you do. You like that. Come on, give me some. That's good, isn't it? Woo, that was good. And then he said, I went knee deep. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of us need to get knee deep. It's a little harder to splash other people when you're knee deep. Because now you're starting to make a real commitment. You just can't run away. Have you ever tried to run in water knee deep? Ankle deep, I can book. Ankle deep, knee deep, slosh. You don't move as fast. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. But then he went from there to waist deep. I believe that's when you get to the point where you're a yoke-destroying, burden-removing, demon-casting-outing Christian. But don't stop there. Because he said then he went swimming. He went swimming in it. That's a release of the virtuous life. There's another level, man. There's another place. Come on, we can go to it. There's another place. Virtuous. I want to be a virtuous man. I want my children to call me blessed. April sent me a little text last night because Caden, my grandson, said something about me being... No, she said something about where's Jesus or whatever. What did she say? He said, talking about Jesus. He said, well, Papa's Jesus. I said, whew. And then he said, no, he's not Jesus. He's not really Jesus, but he looks like Jesus. He acts like Jesus. I said, ooh, God, that's good, man. Hallelujah. It's in his kiss. That's where it is. Pucker up, baby. Give Jesus a big, wet kiss. Time to reach out to him like you've never reached out before. I'm going to close with this. Jesus was in the temple watching people bring their offerings to God. Do you remember that story? People were coming in with big bags. Dust flies. The coins clang. The crowd oohs and ahs. Wow. He's spiritual. Another person comes in, not quite as big of a bag, but pretty big. And Jesus is watching them put their money in the pot. Isn't that crazy? You think nobody's looking when you give your offering here on Sunday. You know, we put it in so discreetly. You know, I don't know why we have to fold it up. We fold it up. And poor Sharon and Julie, they got to get up there on Monday morning going, okay, what is this? Nobody sees it, but Jesus sees you. Here comes a woman. Just a woman. She come to the treasury that day with two mites. That's like two pennies. And she walks in, and I like to think she brings it like this. I'm not embarrassed. It's only two mites. I want everybody to see it. Yeah, it's dysfunctional. What are you going to do about it? God's about to heal it. Yeah, I've walked in unbelief and fear, but you know what? I'm reaching for the sacrificial part of Christ. It's all right. I'm not embarrassed. Here comes my two mites. Clang, clang. And Jesus said, whoa, that woman gave more than everybody combined in this whole place. You know why? Because he saw her reach, which was an outward manifestation of an inward desire. She gave all that she had. Church, I am persuaded that if you're here this morning to try to impress the preacher with your money, forget it. I have never sucked up to anybody with money. Is that all right to say that? Did I just drop that money? What did I reach for? I refuse to do it. You come in here as a millionaire, I say, praise God. How much you giving in the offering? You gave $1,000? Ooh, $1,000. Wow. Person comes in here on welfare. And they give $50. And they got $12.50 left till next paycheck. We celebrate them and we say, you cheat. Let's not be moved by what we see. But let's be moved by what we can't see. And that is, I want to see your heart. I want to see your heart. You know, I've had a lot of people judge me over the years for what they could see. But not my heart. For those of you that know my heart, you're still here.
Thank you.
You lasted through World War I, II, III, and IV here at Church on the North Coast. Glory to God, and you're still here. You all are, you need to be awarded. Praise God, you need to be, we need to put your name on a plaque and just put the title, still here. Coming up March 16th, we're going to have our annual spring seed offering. Church on the North Coast, I'm telling you right now, you take that offering. If you really want change, Obama can't give it to you. Billary can't give it to you. McCain or Huckleberry Finn can't give it to you. Any man that can put $18 million of his own money into his campaign and still can't win a primary, he's not my president. Now there I got political on you. But I know a man that if you'll put what you have in the hand of the master and reach out to him, come on somebody, God will do great and mighty things in your life. This morning, let's worship him in our giving. This is a time for our tithe and offering. This is a moment when we can bless the Lord. Come on, church. Time for tithe and offering. Woo! Why am I excited? Because it represents my reach. God, my tithe is representing my reach. It's an outward manifestation of my inward desire. God, here, I acknowledge you as my sovereign. I acknowledge you as my Lord. Here's my 10%. I am confident I can live on 90. Holy Spirit, right now in this room, as we prepare our gifts, every person who's been dysfunctional, change them, Lord, right now. Every person in here, Lord, that has been under the heavy taskmaster of unbelief and fear, lift it now. Every person, oh God, who has spent all that they had and they reach out now, I pray, make them whole. Make them whole. Now, church, here's what I want you to do as we give. I want you to stand after you give. And I want you to reach out to God this morning like you haven't done before at the end of the service. Just take a couple of minutes. You can do it. Lock in. Lock in to God. Say, Father, I am reaching out to you this morning. And I'm giving you this offering, Father, because this is my faith. This is my belief. I believe in you. Let's receive that offering right now. Would you worship with me? Come on out, girls. As soon as you give, I want you to stand and reach out to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're awesome, God, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Come on, reach out to Jesus. Hallelujah. You have the words to that song. Would you kindly put that up if you have them? Thank you, Lord. Sing it up, girls. Come on. Come on, sing it. Reach. I reach for you, Jesus. I reach
for you.
You say, I don't have anything. Yes, you do. You have your reach. Yes, Lord. We're falling on our knees, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're all I need, Jesus. I'm not looking at people around me. I'm not looking at my past. I'm not looking at what I can't do. I'm looking at you, Jesus. I'm reaching out to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, as you give, I want you to stand and reach out to Jesus. Come on, that dysfunctional place, that place that's not reaching capacity, that place that's just not whole. That place in your life. The place, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, reach it out to Jesus. Say, Lord,
for your arms are open wide.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I am empty, but I know.
Make us a virtuous people this morning, Lord.
Restore.
Make us a virtuous people this morning.
And so I reach.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For you.
Yes, Lord, I reach for you.
And so I reach.
Hallelujah. I reach for you, Jesus.
For you, I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus,
you're all I want and need.
Is living for.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me leave this thought with you, church. Look at me, please, just for a minute. Bartimaeus was blind. He heard that Jesus was passing by, and it changed his cry. If you read the scripture, he was crying out or begging for alms. But when he heard Jesus was there, the Bible says he shouted to the Lord. Now be careful, that's not just noise. Begging was conversational persuasion to get something from somebody else to meet his need. Crying out was abandonment of everybody around him that could have ever met his need. And he totally committed to one source. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it changed his whole complete future. Stop looking to your ex to restore your joy, to restore your sense of worth. Watch now. Stop looking to parents who didn't do what they should have done, and you need them to do it now. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but listen to me. Jesus is here this morning.
Hallelujah.
Stop begging. Stop begging.
Hallelujah.
And start lifting up your voice in a shout of expectation and saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. Come on, reach up and reach out to Jesus right now, church. Come on. Yeah, we reach out to you, Lord. We cry out to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. So I cry out, Lord. I reach out, Lord. I reach for you, Lord. You're my only source. Thank you, Lord.
For you.
Thank you, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask this question. You say, Pastor, I'm here today, and I know that if I were to die today, I'd probably go to hell. I would not go to heaven. But I'm like the man that's been drowning off the pier. I'm like the woman up on the third floor in a building engulfed with flames. I know that if I don't reach out, I'm not going to make it. And today, if you're here and you're not sure that you're born again, you're not certain that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven and not hell, then what God's looking for is not how well you know the Bible, how many obligations you can fulfill. He's looking for the outward manifestation of an inward desire for change. And that's with your reach. And I'm about to ask every person in this room who wants to go to heaven and not hell, to have life and not death, to find hope and leave futility, to reach out to Jesus Christ. And every person in this room that today would say, I need Christ as my Savior, here's what I want you to do. On the count of three, I want you to reach up your hand. You're reaching out. It's an outward manifestation of an inward desire. Are you ready? One, two, three. Pastor, that's me. 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 Pastor, pastor, that's me. Pastor, Jesus, Jesus. Now get out from where you're standing and come here and join me at this altar. Come on. You're in a burning building. You're in a drowning lake. Come on, get out of that place. Get out of it. Get out of it. Reach out. Move from where you're standing and come to this altar. Altar ministers, come. Come on, come, altar ministers. Come on, keep clapping. Keep it.
keep clapping. Keep encouraging them, because they're coming right now from the left and from the right and from the back and from the front to find Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. Hallelujah! Now look to two or three people around you and say, listen, if you'll reach out your hand to mine, I'll take you. I'll take you and I'll go with you to that altar. Do it right now, please, quickly. Come on, come on. Look at somebody. Say, I'll do it. I'll go with you. You reach your hand in my hand and I'll take you. And we can walk together this altar and your life will never be the same. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you for coming. Come on, give them another hand clap. Give them another encouragement. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, come on, come on, come on. Encourage them. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord. I'll stretch a hand out to each one of them. What are you doing? You're reaching. What are you reaching toward? Not them. You're reaching to God's provision, God's destiny, God's power. Come on, you're virtuous people. Release now your administrative ability for their miracle. That's what it's all about. I'm reaching. I say, Father God, lift them, touch them, raise them up. Lord God, let them not, Father, be defeated any longer, but they would live. They would not die. They would walk, oh God, in your power. They, oh God, would receive their miracle. They would be changed forevermore. They will never be the same. Never, 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 never again. Father, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, God, we thank you that they're coming. We thank you, Lord, that they will not, oh God, wallow in that place where they've been. But God, they're making a move. They're making a change. They're making a turn. And today is a great day. And we bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Now church, I don't know if you can do it, but I think our King of Kings and Lord of Lords deserves a standing ovation of praise. Can you give it to him this morning? Can you give it to him this morning? Yes! 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 You're awesome! You're awesome! You're awesome! Yes! Come on, give him glory! You're awesome, Jesus! As we leave this place, I want you to reach out to somebody you've never met. So what good is the reach? Because there's virtue in you. That's why laying on of hands is so powerful.
Yes, yes.
When you have virtue. But when you don't, it's not powerful. It's just religious. But I want you to reach out to somebody and tell them, I celebrate God's love in you and I celebrate you because you are an awesome man of God or you're an awesome woman of God. And right now I know I'm being restored. I know that you're being made whole. And I know that you're walking in faith and not unbelief and fear. Can we encourage one another as we leave this room this morning? Can we do it? Sure we can. You live right. You love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next time right here, Church on the North Coast. God bless you all.